If we don't ever believe it's possible, how can we ever reach the perfect church? Before God brings the perfect church, God changes our mind and our heart to believe in the possibility. Then we could align our bodies with God. So the trespass offering, sin offering, goes outside the camp. But the other three offerings are burned right there on the altar, the brazen altar. And there's something special about this offering that is brought forth. The peace offering. The peace offering emphasizes on the relationship with God that is established. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you were born again is mentioned in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. When did that happen? The moment we were born again. And the Holy Spirit dwells inside us. Jesus of Nazareth, in His Spirit, comes into our life. We have a relationship with God. Peace with God. Peace offering is peace with God. Here, peace offering is not peace between man and man. That one comes later under the law and the regulations. Sometimes when people quarrel, they bring a peace offering. This is not peace offering between men. This is peace offering between man and God. And there's only one peace offering that God accepts. A sinless man must die in the place of sinful men. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only one who has come and said that he has no sin. We thank God for all the great religious teachers of all the various movements in the world. But only Jesus Christ says He is the Son of God, and there's only one way to God, through Him. John 14 verse 6. That is why sometimes a non-Christian looks at Christian and says, why are you so narrow-minded? Be broad-minded. All roads lead to Rome. Every faith leads to God. See, you must understand us. The problem is not with us. It's in what Jesus said. And Jesus made it in such a way that there's no way you could compromise. Now, we must live at peace with all men. That's about what you must not condemn people and what they believe and what they stand. That is not right. But at the same time, we need people to understand why we are the way we are. And for one reason, it's because of what Jesus said. If you study Jesus' writing, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 verse 6. And a very intellectual atheist said that when he analyzed Jesus' writings, and I was comparing some of their writings, and he said, Jesus said he's the Son of God. Jesus said he's the only way to God. Jesus said that he is without sin. You have only choices when you meet Jesus Christ. Either He is the greatest liar, or He is the only truth, if you think about that. See, either what He says is not true. He didn't mean it. He didn't really mean that He's the only way. He didn't mean that He's the only way to God. He didn't mean that He meant that there are other ways, but He's one of the ways. See, either you take it that he's not telling the truth, or if you believe he's telling the truth, then you become what the world calls narrow-minded. He is the only way. So understand, believers, and understand, oh unbelievers, if you're hearing this tape. Most of us here are believers. That the problem is not to do with Christians. It's the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us no second way. He says it's the only way. We must learn to love people. We must learn to respect people and understand. But we must understand that that's where Jesus places himself. There is only one mediator between man and God. Jesus Christ. And He is the peace offering for us to get into God. What happens when we are born again? Our body still remains the same. Our soul still remains the same. After you're born again, although there are sometimes quite dramatic changes, but generally speaking, we still physically and in our soul are the basic person. You don't suddenly come to the altar, get born again, and then as you walk out, people say, "My, who are you?" No, they still recognize you. You still look the same, generally speaking. The peace offering changes your spirit. Your spirit. The grain offering changes your soul. It has to do with Jesus changing our soul character. So you have all the five aspects of man's need. Man needs deliverance from sins and sin. And man has a spirit, soul, and body. That is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. We all have spirit, soul, and body. So our spirit is saved. Peace offering. The grain offering is a picture of the possibility of transformation in our soul. The covenant of salt is talking about here. And you notice the grain offering is given with oil. I want you to notice that trespass offering may have a grain offering that is different from the grain offering that is the true grain offering. In chapter 2, says, verse 16, then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of the beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now he's telling you here that you place oil on that offering and it's a sweet aroma to the Lord. Repeated again in chapter 6 of Leviticus, verse 15. Let's turn over to chapter 6, verse 15. And again he repeats here verse 15, he shall take from it his handful of the fine flour, the grain offering, with its oil, and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. So oil can be mixed with the grain offering as long as it's under the category called the grain offering, which is a type of acceptable burnt offering that is voluntary, not out of sin. But if you notice, when he speaks about the other types of offering, and especially in regard to the trespass offering in chapter 5, verse 11. But if he is not able to bring two turtle doves, two young pigeons, now it's still under trespass offering. But this time the person cannot afford to bring pigeons or a lamb. They can only afford some grain as a trespass offering. So verse 11 says, then he whose sin shall bring for his offering one tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall, notice, put no oil on it. Nor shall he put any frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. Notice that. Even though it could be grain, it's not always oil. Only the grain offering that is classified as a burnt offering is acceptable with oil. What is it saying here? The soul. Jesus came to save our spirit, soul and body. The soul of man, of redeemed man, becomes an instrument for the Holy Spirit to flow through. The Holy Spirit, the oil of the Spirit, can flow through our soul. The Holy Spirit works together with our soul and through our soul. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. The soul is not removed. It is renewed and utilized by the Spirit. But if the sin nature and sins are present, the grain offering cannot mix with oil. The soul can never be utilized by the Holy Ghost. So, in the book of Leviticus, they give you an understanding of the soul of man and its flow of God with God. The soul of man, the mind, and all the parts of our soul can only be anointed by the Holy Ghost when there's no sin in our life. And the sin nature is subjected to Jesus. That's why an unbeliever who is not born again, I mean, their soul is practically not an instrument of the Spirit at all. What about a believer? When a believer lives in sin, you cannot trust your mind anymore. Although the voice and impression of the Holy Spirit may be like a soft inner voice and thought or inner vision, you cannot trust it anymore. It cannot mix with oil. You need a sin offering and a trespass offering. Powerful truth inside here. Grain offering has to do with the soul of man as an offering to God. Now the burn offering, and it gives us in chapter 6, he repeats some things on the burn offering. verse 9 and 10, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the Lord, a burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the heap upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body, take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And then chapter 7, verse 8. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering. In the trespass and the sin offering, that skin is burnt. You remember that? We just read that earlier. Are you all still with me in the Bible? Have you got lost somewhere in the offerings? We may have the man offering for you. Now, if you remember the sin offering, the trespass offering, everything is burnt outside. The skin is burnt outside. The priest is not allowed to keep the skin, even. But there's something different about the burnt offering. After he slaughters the animal and it burns, the portion of meat can be eaten, you know, after all the wave offering, the breast meat and the thigh. And the skin is kept. And it's given to the priest. Let me tell you what the burnt offering symbolizes. Our body is dedicated to God. So you have spirit, soul, and body. You see, the finale of the church age is when Jesus Christ comes again and He resurrects both those who are dead in Christ